This is the Anxious Lifestyle Podcast, episode number 2. Today we're going to discuss the 3 traits of anxiety disorder. In addition, some thoughts on a YouTube video about anxiety disorder and panic attacks. Hey everyone, thank you for joining me on the Anxious Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Joshua. I'm so happy that you're tuning in today because we're continuing our journey out of anxiety disorder. And so I hope that today your anxiety levels are low. I hope that the thoughts, the fears, the sensations are held at bay so that you can consider some valuable information on this podcast that will help you in your journey to recovery. Today I wanted to talk about the 3 traits of anxiety disorder, but that's going to be discussed in the Anxious Lifestyle Lounge a little later on. But first, I want to kind of share a thought on a YouTube video that I saw the other day. And this video was very intriguing to me for 2 reasons. Number one, it was intriguing because of the title. The title of the video was called The Aftermath of a Panic Attack. And so as someone who experiences panic attacks, it was obviously something that caught my eye. Number 2, after watching the video, I can tell you that the content was very intriguing to me. And so just to kind of set the stage is that this video, in the beginning of this video, there's a woman who is attempting to get the title to her vehicle at the DMV, but she wasn't able to get the title because as she was standing in line, she experienced a panic attack. And so how familiar does this sound to you if you're experiencing anxiety disorder? I know personally for me, standing in line somewhere is probably, or was probably rather, because I'm getting better at it, was probably the most frightening situation to be in. I mean, it almost seemed as if my anxious sensations were just waiting for me to stand in a line somewhere so that they could activate. And it was so frustrating. It was so annoying that I couldn't even at times stand in line to pay for gas, which takes only, what, 2-3 minutes sometimes? I couldn't even do that. I couldn't stand in line to pay for gas without having to feel those anxious sensations. And so the familiarity of what this woman experienced immediately caught my attention. But what really caught my attention also in this video was as this woman sat in her car and began to vent her frustration about the failure, if you will, of not being able to stand in line at the DMV, her frustration immediately shifted from that specific situation to what her life had been up until that point. So she was beginning this emotional roller coaster of frustration and anger. And really what it is, it's frustration and anger at the anxiety disorder. That's what it is. And I know that it was for me. But anyways, this woman, she expressed her frustration and not being able to stand in line, to expressing frustration and not being able to be with her family like she wanted to be, to not being able to take vacations with her friends, to not being able to go to school or getting a job. And then from there, that frustration immediately took off to her future. She started to look at her future very negatively. So she started this emotional roller coaster ride, and it went from the specific situation to her life up until that point, to her past, and then also to her future. And this is so common in people who experience anxiety disorder. We tend to look at our life as really a complete failure sometimes when we experience anxiety disorder because we're not able to perform simple tasks each day. And then from there, we just automatically think and we believe that our future is going to look that way. But I'm here to tell you right now that your future does not have to look so bleak. Your future does not have to look so negative unless you decide to do something about it. And so it's important to consider a couple of things in order to start the journey out of anxiety disorder. To start the journey out of panic attacks, agoraphobia, OCD, whatever it is, it's important to note a couple of things. And here are the two things. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you to let somebody know about what you experience, about your high anxiety. Let them know the specific situations that you experience high anxiety. And this does two things. For one, it allows you to not live such a secretive life, because as anxiety disorder sufferers, we really do live a secret life if we don't tell anybody. And number two, it helps you to stop making those excuses that when you really look at it, and at the end of an excuse, whenever we make one, we completely look down on ourselves because we made an excuse of not being able to go to dinner somewhere, or of not being able to go to a party somewhere, or of not being able to go to the grocery store with our family or shopping, whatever the case may be. Whenever we make those excuses, that just brings us that much more down into the pit that we have dug ourselves. And so let someone know, tell someone what you experience, so that way they can already be alert of it, but then maybe that may motivate them to help you, okay? So number two, I would like to encourage you to develop a plan as to what you're going to do to overcome your anxiety disorder. What are you going to do starting today or tomorrow? Make it early. Make it as soon as possible. What are you going to do to get out of the anxiety disorder process, of the anxiety disorder cycle? And when I say make a plan, what I mean is that when you make a plan, make sure that it is specific. Make sure that you assign dates as to where you want to be. And remember that these goals that you set, they have to be reasonable. So in other words, you're not going to set a goal of in a week or in 6 days to be completely free of anxiety, or to be out of your anxiety disorder, or to be outside of your home if you experience agoraphobia. No, make some reasonable dates, set those dates on a calendar or somewhere where you can see them, and begin to devise that plan. Now, here's another thing that I want to encourage you to do when you devise a plan. When you're making your plan, make sure that you have everyone who is close to you and everyone who loves you. Make sure you have those people get on board with your plan and don't get on board with their plans. I remember this happened to me when I was making my plan to recovery from anxiety disorder, was that many people started to encourage me or wanted me to do certain things. They started to tell me, well, why don't you just expose yourself? You should do that. Or why don't you go to the doctor? I think you have hyperthyroidism. I think you have diabetes. And they started to look down on the plan that I was creating. And so that's not what I mean by making a plan, is that, yes, you want to consider some of the encouragement or some of the suggestions your family and friends may have, but it doesn't mean that you have to automatically jump on board with that. Devise your plan, do research on the internet as far as medications, as far as self-help programs, as far as psychologists and psychiatrists, as far as diets, do your research on that. Or you can just listen to this podcast and future episodes. I'm going to talk about all of that. But do your research, tune into this podcast, and devise your plan as to what you want to do to get out of your anxiety disorder cycle. So these are the two things that I'm encouraging you to do. I want to reiterate that they're not going to cure you. They may not make you feel better. As a matter of fact, they may even scare you. But these two keys are essential in jumpstarting your road to recovery. So let's go ahead and get into the Anxious Lifestyle Lounge, where we're going to discuss the three traits of anxiety disorder. Hey everyone, welcome to the Anxious Lifestyle Lounge. Let's go ahead and get into our discussion for this episode. We're going to examine the three different traits of anxiety disorder, but before we do that, I quickly just want to make known that there is a universal trait that is common amongst anxiety disorder sufferers, and that trait is avoidance. It's avoidance due to the fear of anxious sensations. It's avoidance due to the fear of the racing and irrational thinking. And so if your sensations and your thinking is dictating to you where you can and cannot go, then it is most likely that you have an anxiety disorder. So keep that in mind as we talk about these traits, okay? So let's examine the first trait. The first trait of anxiety disorder has to do with the circumstance or the situation in which your anxiety sensations are activated. So for example, if you were going to engage in a dangerous activity, such as, let's say, for the sake of this argument, skydiving, then it would be appropriate for you to feel anxiety because there's a presumed threat or a danger present. Or what if you were being chased by an angry dog? Well, we identify the danger, we identify the threat, and therefore anxious sensations are activated. That's opposed to the circumstances and situations where anxiety should not be activated, such as going to the grocery store or going to the movies or perhaps going to a gathering with a group of people. If your anxiety begins to activate while you're engaging in these activities, in these non-threatening, non-dangerous activities, then it is most likely that you have an anxiety disorder. Now, let's examine the second trait, which has to do with the severity and the span of the anxious sensations. So let's say, for example, we take the circumstance, okay? Let's say you go to your grocery store and as it is, you feel anxiety, okay? Now, let's say that the anxious level when you go to the grocery store is perhaps at a 5, a 6, and as you enter the store, it elevates to about an 8 or a 9, maybe even a 10. And let's say you make it through your journey through the grocery store, and after you leave and you get home, you still feel the lingering effects of the anxiety. Perhaps it lowers, but yes, maybe not all the way down to a 0, but maybe your anxiety lowers back to, let's say, maybe a 4 or a 5. Then you can identify or seriously consider that you do have an anxiety disorder. Because in normal anxiety, when your mind senses a threat or a danger, it activates the anxious response, the fight or flight response. But once the threat is gone, those sensations, your anxiety, has to be completely gone. But if you experience lingering anxiety, if you experience severe anxiety in non-threatening situations, then it is most likely that you do have an anxiety disorder. And finally, the last trait is that the anxious sensations and the anxious thoughts will disrupt your lifestyle. So let's say, for example, at work, you're not performing well because of your anxious sensations and your thoughts. Or let's say you hesitate at taking on extra job responsibilities, or perhaps your work involves a lot of meetings and you make excuses to miss those meetings, or you avoid travel that's required by your employer because you're afraid of your anxious sensations. Your anxious sensations dictate that you can or cannot do that. Then it is most likely that there's an anxiety disorder there. Now, it's also going to disrupt your personal and your social life. So let's say you get invited out to places, but you don't go because you're fearing your sensations, you're fearing your thoughts. Then it's a little more clear that there can be an anxiety disorder looming there. So do you kind of get the entire spectrum of anxiety disorder? The main trait is avoidance. It's avoidance because of the fear of the sensations and of the thoughts that dictate what you can and cannot do. And so all of that just kind of boils over. It carries over into your social life, your personal life, your work life, the severity in which you feel the anxiety, the situation or the circumstance in which you feel it. And so all of that kind of connects to one another. And if it does, then it is most likely that there's an anxiety disorder looming there. So now that you have an idea of what the traits are of anxiety disorder, the next question we need to ask ourselves is, do we have to even see a doctor to be diagnosed with anxiety disorder? Well, in order to find out the answer to that question, you're going to have to stay tuned and tune in to the next episode of the Anxious Lifestyle Podcast.